I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Richard Martini back with us, author, filmmaker who focuses primarily on using hypnotherapy, mediumship, or guided meditation to access the afterlife. Rich interviews ETs and those who have passed on to the flip side, as he calls it, and uses guided meditation to interview contactees as well. His latest work is called Close Encounters of the Flip Side Kind. His website is his name, richmartini.com. which we have it linked up at coasttocoastam.com for you. Mr. Martini, welcome back.
George, so good to hear your voice. It's been too long.
It is, my friend. We ran into each other at a conference. You're always...
Yeah, we did, Contact in the Desert. And I think that's around your birthday, isn't it?
Yep, it's coming up again in another couple months.
That's so thrilling. You know, what's funny is that they invited me to come and speak. So I will be talking at the Contact
Institute. Well, I will be seeing you that Saturday, June 1st, I believe, that day.
That's so fabulous.
So do you have another winner here with Close Encounters of the Flip Side Kind? Tell me about the title.
It's a funny title, and mainly because when I went to see Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and they showed it at the Contact in the Desert last year, and I don't remember, but
great
they had
movie.
An outdoor screening.
Yep, classic.
And I'm sitting there in the... lawn chair, and I recognize a person in the movie, J. Allen Hynek.
Yep.
Who, he's got a goatee and a pipe, and Spielberg does one of those, classic close-ups of him as he's looking at the spacecraft arrive. Well, that was my science advisor when I was in grade school.
Hynek was?
Yes, if you can believe it. Back in Chicago, I'm in seventh grade. I don't know how he knew Sister Joelle from the Nuns of St. Casimir at St. Norbert's grade school. I have no idea. But so she told me to do this science project, and she assigned Professor Hynek to come over to my house. And he would come over with his pipe and his goatee.
That's how he walked into the movie, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
And so that I recognize him on the screen. So it's very strange. Plus, of course, his son Paul is an author and a
good
scientist
day. And
a professor.
He'll be at Contact.
Yeah. And so I met him there. We had a lovely chat. And then at some point, we did a guided meditation over the past year where I spent a couple hours with him doing the thing that I do. Like you mentioned, hypnotherapy, mediumship, guided meditation. And so we invited, it was his request, his dad to come and talk to us. And I asked his father if he remembered me.
From the flip side.
But from the flip side, his father on the flip side, during this guided meditation, picture yourself in a boat on a river. It's in the Divine Counsels in the Afterlife book. But it's a very simple meditation, and you just see what happens. You start asking questions like, so who's here? And when he arrived or he appeared, I ask him the same questions I ask everyone. Who greeted you on the other side, and What's it like over there? What have you learned? Those kinds of things. And he talked about what I was like in grade school. And the word he used was persnickety, which I haven't heard probably since 1967.
A wise guy.
Yeah, wise guy. Asks a lot of questions. But what was fun about that is that after that, of course, now I have these resources. So, as you know, I work with Jennifer Schaefer, the medium from Manhattan Beach. And we interview people on the flip side. I just give her a first name, and then she'll tell me, so-and-so is here. So we interviewed him on two different occasions on our podcast, and I asked him questions, to verify what he had already told me during the course of, and it's a fascinating interview, but it allowed me to go to realize I have been having these conversations not only with people off stage, that's what I like to call it, but also, when I'm talking to people in the book Divine Counsel in the Afterlife, I think I mentioned it was 20 scientists, clergy, doctors. I had them all do a simple guided meditation. None of them had ever heard of me before. None of them had read any of my work. But all of them were able to talk to their counsels, talk to their guides, learn new information from people offstage that they didn't know they could talk to. And while they're talking to these counsels, some of them appeared as ETs. I mean, we use the term alien. It's kind of a pejorative. But the classic different types, and you've heard them all, except I try not to use those terms like reptilian or, because, they're just people from other realms, apparently. And I ask them the same questions. As we go down the row of the people on the council, they'll see, let's say, an average of about 10 to 12 people, beings, and somewhere along the line, they'll say, oh, this is very strange. This person looks like an alien. And I'll ask them to describe them in detail. And then I'll ask the person who is serving on this person's council, do you know this person from before? Have they ever incarnated on your planet? Have you ever incarnated on the planet Earth? And one person said, I wouldn't stoop so low. Meaning, and I asked him to explain that. He said that Earthlings are too tribal, too tribalistic. They spend so much time judging how other people look and behave. There's a lot of fear involved. So that was an interesting viewpoint. But so that's what I've been doing for the past year or so, and interviewing these people off stage that can talk about what it's like where they're from. And I realized, in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, they used math to communicate with the ETs that were supposed to ever coming. They used math and music and light, right? The song and all that stuff. Yep. And that comes from a government study of cryptologists in the 1960s that the Defense Department hired to figure out how do you communicate with another group of beings. And he came up with this idea of that because if they can travel these great distances, they must be good mathematicians. And if we communicate in math, and my point, what I came upon, is that when we communicate in dreams, we never see people's lips move. We hear them say things to us. Sometimes we learn new information from them. And none of that is math. It's all telepathic. An image appears to us, or we hear a voice. You've had Gary Schwartz on the program.
Sure.
He had that experience right after Harvard where he was in a car with his wife and heard a voice say, put on your seatbelt.
Saved his life.
He didn't know what that meant, and he was rear-ended and nearly died. But the doctor said if you hadn't put your seatbelt on, you would have died. There's a filmmaker, Bill Bennington, I think. I've got his name somewhere. But he heard a voice tell him to stop at a green light as he was driving to the airport. And he didn't. He kept going, and the voice yelled at him.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Same thing happened to me, Rich. I was going through a intersection. I had the green light, and as I'm going through the light, as I'm getting close to it, something just overwhelmed me in my little head, just saying, don't go through the green light.
Wow.
Pull over. Stop. Don't go through. And I'm you know, saying to myself, I've got cars behind me. I've got a green light. People are doing 45, 50 miles an hour through the intersection. I can't just slam on my brakes. But I did. I pulled over, and I did not go through the intersection. At that point, a car went through their red light, and it would have broadsided me.
Wow. It's exactly what I'm talking about.
It's amazing how that works.
And so the question becomes, like, in a, you know, Gary Schwartz has spent his career since Harvard trying to figure out how to get sound, you know, from the other side, from the flip side. And my thing is to say, why don't we just ask, who was that? Who was that person? And whether you're doing it with hypnotherapy or doing it with a guided meditation or even a medium that was really talented, you can ask those kinds of questions and see. And, you know, in my case, I'd like to ask three mediums the same questions and see what the differences might be. But yeah, Bill Bennett was the name of the guy. And same thing, he was on his way to the airport. The voice shouted at him. He pulled over, and a truck ran right through.
Would have killed him.
Would have killed him. So the point is that that voice, now how did the voice make a sound? Either it's engrams in your brain that remember what the sound of a voice is, but it's not like you recognize it. Oh, that was Aunt Betty, or, you know, that was Uncle Pete. It was an unknown voice to you. Is that correct?
Yeah, unknown. And to me, it felt like some kind of clairvoyant voice in your head.
Okay.
But it could have been a spirit, could have been sign, could have been anything.
Well, that's the other point, which is it's in your head. So it's not outside your head. You know, it's not like sound waves. But somebody who's watching over you, I don't think they were just...
Could have been your guardian angel.
I saw you there. But somebody watching over you was like, he's going to get nailed if he goes through this thing. And they found a way to disrupt the journey that you were on.
They had 20 seconds to do it, and they did it.
And they did it. And so we can give them credit for that. And one day, as you and I love to say, you'll know who that was. But right now, the idea is what is that? It's a telepathic communication between somebody off stage and you. And my thing is, all right, well, then if that's possible, it's somehow they bypass the filters on the brain. If it's possible to bypass those filters on the brain from their point of view, how do we do it? And I've seen that people can do that through guided meditation where, you know, they're seeing somebody, let's say, sitting in a boat, an uncle or, you know, loved one, Don Rickles. We had a conversation with him.
All right. He talked about me to you, didn't he?
That's right. And he said, you know, because I did the test, which was, you know, how do you know George? And he said that you came backstage to see him in Vegas. But that's telepathic. You know, you're not seeing his lips move when he's answering the question. And it is in your head. And it comes into your head. And so what I've realized, and this has been really since I first started this research 15 years ago, occasionally somebody will tell me, I had an ET event. I was abducted. And I'll say, well, if you want to explore it, we can. And then you ask them to go back to a moment within that they recall before, you know, they passed out or they freaked out or whatever. What do you see? And freeze the frame so there's no emotion associated with it. And then what in this frozen 3D virtual reality frame, you ask the person that you're seeing, do I know you? Am I familiar with you? Do you know me? Those kinds of questions. And because I'm asking the questions, I can ask them directly. This happened about 8 years ago, really about halfway into this research. A guy came up to me in the street, said, I read your book, Flipside, and, you know, I'm passionate about what you're doing, and can I talk to you? I was like, yeah, sure. So we sit down, and he starts telling me how he had a memory of lost time. He was with a friend in Hollywood. They were on their way to the car, and they looked up and saw what looked to be a UFO. And the next thing you know, the next thing they knew was they were driving down the hill like 2 hours later, you know, late for their appointment. They had never spoken about it to each other. So I just said casually over coffee, well, you know, let's see what we can learn. And in the course of this conversation, I said, can you see the ship? Can you touch the ship? Can you go inside the ship? Can you tell me how many beings are aboard the ship? Can I speak to the pilot? And all of these things, the guy looked puzzled but said, yeah, I'm seeing this humanoid type person. And then I'm asking directly, can I ask the pilot a question? And this guy says, he says yes. And then I ask the same persnickety questions I ask, which is, what are you doing here? Are you a tourist? Are you just flying by? And the answers were, this person is a colleague. This person is somebody that I've known in their previous lifetime. This person is somebody who agreed even before they incarnated on the planet that I would come and get information from them and pass information to them. So then I've also had an unusual conversation with somebody who was abducted many years ago. Simon Bones, a podcaster in England. And we did a live on the air discussion. He didn't know we were going to talk about this, but I just brought it up. I said, did I read somewhere that you were abducted? And he said, well, I've never spoken it on the air, but sure. During the course of this conversation, he identified a gray, you know, one of those gray aliens.
Yeah.
So I did the same thing. Can I talk to him? And the gray alien, I shouldn't use the word alien, but the gray said, I'm an artificially intelligent machine. I have been created by other people to come and collect DNA. he likened it to donating blood to the Red Cross. And this DNA will be brought to other civilizations to help them because they can't procreate anymore. And it's the people that we're taking these samples from have agreed prior to incarnation to be part of this journey. I mean, mind-bending. But anyway.
That's dramatic. Now, in the foreword to your book, Close Encounters of the Flip Side Kind, you talk about filters on the brain, but explain what they are.
Well, I stumbled upon a sentence in Dr. Helen Wamba's book, Reliving Past Lives, where she said, it's as if the brain is a receiver, like a stereo receiver, and it gets all this information unfiltered. But the hypervigilant left brain, she termed it, blocks certain information that's not conducive to survival. Then I'm reading Dr. Grayson's book, Bruce Grayson, I think he's been on the show, after, and he's a near-death researcher from University of Virginia. Same sentence. Filters on the brain block information not conducive to survival. So I've dug into it. Some children are born without filters until about the eighth year. You know, they remember previous lifetimes. They see people that other people can't see. My kids were the same.
And then the filters come in.
Then the filters come in. And then elderly people, Dr. Grayson's YouTube talk, consciousness is not, or is consciousness produced by the brain? He talks about 70% of the UK hospice care workers who their dementia patients suddenly, spontaneously recover their memory. And Grayson noted, it's as if the filters on the brain have died with the atrophied brains. You know, they see people in the room that other people can't see. They recall their entire lifetime. In, like, for example, Steve Jobs, his last words, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow.
Yep.
Clearly seeing something that his sister in the room couldn't see, as if the filters had gone. So the idea is that apparently while we're on stage, these filters block the awareness of what's happening off stage, and that we can bypass those filters, sometimes in dreams, sometimes using hallucinogens, as some people do, but also using hypnotherapy or guided meditation. Or I think mediums are people whose filters are just not quite in place. That's why they can see or hear or, you know, they're different. Some sense, some hear, some see. Jennifer, who I work with, she really has no filters. You know, she can see and hear and, you know, all kinds of stuff. But the idea is it's not that that's a gift or something special that, you know, was granted to them by the magic fairy. It's their filters are not working properly. And they can see and hear these kinds of things. But we can bypass them using hypnotherapy or guided meditation. And as we've demonstrated, George, you know, talking to Don Rickles, it doesn't require being under hypnosis. You can just start asking questions.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.